Toira teaches us, has told us, about the struggle between Yaakov and Esav, the struggle between the two sons of Yitzchak and Rivka. And even though they were twins, born to the same parents, it was a struggle. Was a rivalry between Yaakov and Esav. For Yaakov and Esav were different in their essence. So very different. This could be the thing that led to the hatred of Esav Sorin and Yaakov, Halachi. But in the clash of these two sons, the Torah Kodesh describes who they are. And what their essence is, and what their nature is. But when they were growing up, it wasn't so recognizable. Only Vayigdalu Hanaorim, says the Pasuk, Vayigdalu Hanaorim. When they grew up, Vayesov, Ishudeh Tzayid, Ishudeh. The man of the field, Yaakov Ishtam Yoishev Ahoy. Yaakov was a simple, calm, simple word. Yoishev Aholim, the one who sits in the tents. The Torah tells us a very interesting story that transpires at the beginning, in the young youth, in the teenage years. Yaakov is cooking. He's cooking nazid lentils. Vayavoy Esav min asodeh v'hu oyeth. Esav comes back from the field. He's tired. He's exhausted. What's he so tired about? What's he so wiped out, exhausted? Rashi tells us that over here he was so tired because it didn't sound like it was a regular day in Esav's life. He committed murder that day. Esav did. Who Oyeh, the murderer. Yaakov is busy cooking, as we said, lentils. Now this is very, very queer, very hard to understand. What in the world is Yaakov doing cooking lentils? You've got to understand who Yaakov was. He was a yeshiva, so someone said, what's the shah? He's making cholent for Shabbos, all yeshiva guys. This is the record, cholent for Shabbos, yeshiva guys. Mishnah Pasuk. Yaakov cooked lentils. Every Yeshiva guy has to know. Like I once went to somebody's house recently. They said, oh, I want to thank the wife and the children. I said, no, my husband made it. That's it, the new generation. Well, Hashem, all over it's that way. You know, many people have been, but maybe it's been. I remember another Talmud of mine, he said he got so good at making cholent, but he was the Thursday night cholent maker. Thursday night cholent maker. So, the TNCM, you got a TNCM man, Thursday night cholent maker, in his Dira. And the Maisa used to come from all over, the Maisa got married, everybody at the Sherebos was saying one thing. Lady, Shirley, I don't know if he knows how to learn a darn word, but you're not going to have to spend any time in the kitchen. Oh, you shall mind me, all right? Everyone was so happy. Some Bachum that Baruch Hashem, they become experienced trumpet makers. They know exactly how which crock pot is good with this, which crock pot is that, how much to put it on the crock pot. And Baruch Hashem, but Yaakov Avinu was a Yish Tom Yeshiva, all the rabbis said, what's he doing? He was sitting, as Rashi says, in the Oyel Shal Eber, Oyel Shal Shem. He was always busy learning Torah, Shtaiging, Oyel Shal Shem, trying to learn as much Torah as possible. What's he cooking lentils for? A pile of Pliya Tzuma. So Rashi tells us the answer why he was cooking lentils. Rashi said that day was a very sad day in the history of the world. The greatest of men died that day. It was the day of the death of Avram Avinu, the greatest person that probably ever lived in the history of the world. And he died. And people make food for Avelim, Rabbi Yisrael. For a person that's sitting in Avelim, there's a certain type of food that's made. Today they make eggs. In those times they make lentils, also lentils that why has no mouth. Tell us, just like an oven has no mouth, he's not supposed to talk, Rashi brings from Chazal. That's who he's making lentils of us. Now Esav comes back from this field. He was just committed murder. He's tired. And he walks over to Yaakov, that's by the pot. And he wants some pot from the pot, I mean. And the Maisa, he's stirring the soup, whatever it is, and Esav says, "Haliteini lo min ha'odoyim ha'odoyim hazeh." Rashi says, "Pour me down my mouth like an animal. Pour it down from this red stuff. Red stuff. I want red stuff." Alkein korosh moy edoyim. Therefore, we called his name Edoyim. So the next kashya, besides the what's going on over here, that's why we call him Edoyim, because he said, "Give me from the red stuff." I understand that, but you would have asked for blue stuff. We call him blue, big blue. What's the point over here? Chazal said, the pasuk say, "I need to ask for some red stuff." That's how the name Edoyim came into being. Rabbi said, we call them Edom, Edomites. Where did it come from? From one Maisa. When Esav came back with the son one day, he asked him some red stuff. Okay, we call you red from now on. Pelazah, that's where he gets his name red. I think people get nicknames for certain reasons, but Alkei Karsh by Edom, now he's called Red Man. Pelazah, Rabbi said. And then the most fascinating, most peculiar thing takes place. Yaakov Avinu says, "Vayoyim beYaakov michro chayuim es bechayros choli." Yaakov says, "Sell me the bechayim." Unbelievable! The audacity. Chas v'shalom to say the words. What is Yaakov doing? Where's the punchline here? Sell you me bechayim. That's the right thing to do right now? To ask him his bechor? And secondly, like what this about? What made Yaakov to start to think this? Oh, you know what? I'm going to ask Esav for his bechorah now, for his rights to firstborn, the firstbornship. This is what you do now. You start asking. He's tired. He's weary. And what propelled this into action, to ask him for his bechorah? Is something that Esav said? Yeah, give me your bechorah. We're talking about Yaakov, for a second. He's an Erelich Jew. You know? Mr. Bernstein, he has a nice bakery. Bernstein's bakery on 31st. He always, anytime person, he gives extra change. He's an Erelich Jew. You buy two rolls, he's going to charge you $2, not $2.50. He's Erelich. Yaakov was, I think, just as Erelich as Mr. Bernstein from Bernstein Bakery. For sure he was just as Erelich. And here Yaakov says, sell me your bechorah. And what's he want to sell it for? A bowl of soup? A bowl of soup? Sell you my bechorah for a bowl of soup? Is that a fair sale? I'm going to die. So what do I need the bechira for? That's an answer. So you'll tell me that he didn't really know what bechira was. He said, you know, so he was ready to sell it for a bowl of soup. That's the problem, you're going to die. Okay, go wait a few more minutes, okay? So you felt like you're going to die. But that's the problem, Esav, that's what you're ready to sell your bechorah. And later on, when he sold it, he was crying. He knew what the bechorah meant, the brachas. He knew the bechorah meant all the power that Yaakov was going to have, the vita lechos, everything that Yitzchak gave the brachas that he got from Avram down to Yitzchak, down to Yaakov. He knew it meant a lot. He was bawling about that. When he heard that Yaakov took the brachas, which came because of the bechorah, he was bawling. He was angry. He wanted to kill. He knew what bechorah meant. He gives it up like that. Okay. He always had another question on Bursa. A very interesting question. We know in last week's parasha there's a person called Yishmael on Bursa. And Chazal teaches a fascinating thing. Yishmael did tshuva. He was able to do tshuva at the end. Yishmael changed. He grew up, the end of his life, as I'll say, he did tshuva shlema, and he died as a righteous person. Esav never found a bunch of ever did tshuva. It's a fascinating thing. Esav never did tshuva. Anybody who learns Megillah will know that. The Gemara says in Megillah, who Esav? He was a Rasha from the beginning to the end. Never did tshuva, never changed. Never did anything. What's the pshat? So I want to say like this. There's a fascinating chazal. The Tosis brings it. And anybody going to hear this would be amazed. But it's true, and Tosis brings it. Esav never had a bris milah. Anybody know that? Chiddush, I want to be mechad. No, it's the first one. Tosis brings it. Esav never had a bris milah. Why didn't he have a bris milah? When I said Yitzchak was his father, it's the story of the Pella of the Gazach. Why didn't he have a bris milah? So Chav Tosis brings, probably Tosis, bringing a fascinating thing. When Esav was born, he was very, very red. Now we know in Israel it's very common. I remember also, Babel's yellow. It's a yellow baby. You put it into these lights, cameras, action, they get it going on, lights on him, and all different things. These pink lights, blue lights, they're trying to get the baby not to be yellow, so you have the 8th day Benila. But at the end of the day, when it's yellow, Esav happens to be very red. So his father said that, well, Maisa, we can't mal him. It's a carbon maybe, who knows? So they waited. Then they saw that, you know, it's a natural color by him. So he said, whatever, how to learn the Chazal, you have to understand the Chazal. He said that once I didn't mal him now, I'm waiting till he's 13. It's different as far as the way I have to explain that why he wanted to wait. When he's 13 years old, Esav went out, and he was on his own already. Teenager. Decided no more. No mila for me. No knives now near me. No knives at 13. Not around me, man. Anyway. Esav never had a bris mila. So that's why I want to tie into that he was never zuchah to tshuva, because the Gemara Chazal tell us later on, I mean the Pesukim say later on, Pesukim that discuss tshuva, the end of Parashat Tvarim says, Umol Hashem Elovecha, Hashem will circumcise your heart. Just when we circumcise the body, there's a circumcision on the heart. The heart has to become circumcised. Take off the layer of thickness, of tumah, that every baby goes through, and that's machlas a baby into Torah, basically. That's what, as we know, in the Mefarshim. The Meila, Esa was never zochah to the tshuva. That's my maha. But I want to bring out another point of this. Yaakov was a god. Yaakov, even at the young age, had a deep understanding. Even he was a Tom. He was a young Sheva Holland. And Yaakov knew deep down that Esav was entitled to the Bechori. He has to sell it. But Yaakov knew something very, very certain about Esav. And he felt he wasn't the right man for the job. He wasn't the right man for the Bechoyra. Because you see, the Bechoyra is the Maisa of Bechor. That a Bechor, a firstborn of Bechor, and it will be in the future, any of you firstborns, will eventually, as the Sfarim tell us, eventually all firstborns will get back the Avoida in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, the Avoid and the Tardis will return to the how it works on animated also, but the Chor will get that the Avoid. The firstborn is entitled to the Avoid and the Beis HaMikdash. Now we have to understand the Beis HaMikdash. The Avoid and the Beis HaMikdash, Kehanan Ba'avoid Dosom, is a service with a lot of depth to it. We know that a Kohen has to have like Machshavas. He has to think the proper thoughts. He has to work tirelessly. He has to work with so much energy in the Beis HaMikdash, physically, emotionally. With his head, with his body, with all parts of him. I believe this Hashem is Jewish in completeness and in depth. Effort. Yaakov understood that Esav has a problem. As the Pasuk says, the Yaakov Vayiglu Hanor Vayi Esav Ish Yodea Tzayid Ish Sodeh. He was a man that knew Tzayid. He was an Ish Sodeh. Zok de Talgum ish sode v'anach shirin v'anofik lechakla. The Pasuk says, the Talmud Yerushalmi, he was of Adam Botel, a person that didn't do anything. He was a person that was not busy. Botel. Now you'll tell me, what do you mean he was Botel? He was a trapper, a hunter. Well, if you look at the Goyin, and the Goyin is Mazma, that he didn't even put an effort in his hunting. You see that Esav somehow got the suit or the clothing or that was originally owned to Adam HaRishon, a certain type of suit, certain type of garment, and he's to put it on, and all the animals would slowly come towards him easily, and they would be easily captured without any effort. So even in his work in the field, which l'chora hunting does take some, it was done without any effort. It was done very superficially. It wasn't done with any amelus, any effort. And Yaakov understood that. Yaakov understood that this person that I have in front of me is not the right man fit for the job. Bechor! Avoida! Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu on that level takes effort. It takes amelus. It takes avoida, service. He's not fit for the job. Please say, listen to a word I want to say. Yaakov is cooking lentils. Why is he cooking lentils? Explain why he's cooking lentils. Lentils are to teach a person about avelus. Mourners don't have a mouth, just like the lentil has no mouth. Total circular being. Esav says, Halitaini no min ha'odoin, ha'odoin, this red stuff. First of all, lentils are more brown, Rabosa, if you ask me. What's the red? But even if we say that red and brown are pretty close in colors, in the color charts, but Yaakov was trying, when he was cooking those lentils, Rabosa, I believe he was cooking the lentils not only because there was no one else to cook, Rabosa. He has a mother called Rivka, Rabosa. She was not sitting Shiva. She was the daughter, not of Avram. The husband, Rivka, could be cooking lentils or what is that? She makes good food also! She makes macaroni and cheese like you never tasted before! She can't cook lentils! The answer is Yaakov was out there cooking lentils because he had an agenda. He was trying to help his brother to understand, today our grandfather died. Lentils are a sign of mourning. Wake up! Understand that life has more meaning than just hunting. Realize that life is like a galgal. Life is like a circle. That's also when we eat lentils and eggs. What goes around comes around. Everybody eventually at the 120 goes the same direction. Life has an ending. Make your life meaningful. Make it deep. Do something with your life, my brother Esav. But when Yaakov sees his superficiality, pour it down. He doesn't even want to chew it. You know why? He doesn't want to taste the texture of his mouth. It might get him to think a little bit. What is that stuff? What is that stuff? Tastes like what? Pour it down. Tomato soup. Campbell's. No taste. No texture. No feeling. No understanding of what it really is. Superficiality. That's what he saw. That's what he's proving. If this is the man that's going to be the Bechor, Michroch Hayoim as Bechoros Choli, now is the time. Yaakov Reed, if at the time of the death, of the greatest man, of our grandfather, who has led us with a legacy, and he gave the legacy over to our father, that we should pass on the is going to be red. You know what red is? Red is a color that attracts the eye, but we don't see beneath it. Superficiality. No depth. He's not entitled to the Bechorah. He has no shares to the Bechorah. Now is the opportune time. Not because it's not Erlich, because it's the most Erlich thing. This man does not deserve Avodas Hashem, which is depth. With his struggle, his Avoida. He doesn't deserve it. He's not child. Oh, Michla Chayoim, right now. It's Bechorah Aschalim. And this is Esav's answer. He's going to die. He knew what it was all about. It's going to be hard work, as Rashi says. This Bechor, it doesn't mean right now he's going to die. Oh, I'm going to have to die over this Bechor, I'm going to have to work hard. I'm going to have to put effort. I have to estrange myself. I have to extend myself. I'd rather stay with my superficial life. Afterwards, he realized that it was a mistake because everything comes with the Bechor. All the brachas. We'll explain that soon. But he realized the whole thing was so beautiful now. So he understood this whole, wasn't Stam just, you know, some type of scene in the coloring book again of this. This was an unbelievable havchana to be mavchid, to make a clear distinction who Esav is and who Yaakov is. Yaakov's the man that wants to work. He wants to make the effort. He wants to see that person who deserves 100%. You're ready to make the effort. You're ready to do a life of in-depth. You're ready to put forth all you have. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then you're entitled. But you want to just live superficial life. A life of just whatever comes my way. Whatever's easier. Whatever I can get with it much more easier. That's not what's going to bring the Bechayim. That's not, he's not deserving of it. And it could be very well beatable inside. I'll be in your voice, so we're not coming to tell you, but the mice is very interesting, the voice. We take an 8-year-old baby, your voice, and we go ahead and we cut off that foreskin, your voice, and it's painful. It's painful. At 8 days year old, we tell it, the Gemara says, we killed ourselves, Yoshev, every day. Zubris milas of the Gemara Negitim. Bris Mila is an act of a surgery of an 8-day-old baby. You go around the world, you say, what masochist. We know what's going on in Europe today. Right, freedom rights for the babies. No Brit Mila, no circumcision. He didn't say yes. There's no acquisition besides the baby. Baby's rights. Who's sticking up? This guy strangled his baby last week. He has to sign up. He's abused their kids, smacked them all over there. The baby's rights. Left hand's dog's rights. Lifting up the two signs together. Freedom for dogs. They should be able to travel on all buses. Not in the back, in the front. Put the baby humans in the back. But we in Klal Yisrael take that little baby, 8 days old, and we circumcise. What's the inyan? Simple, but there's so many inyanim to go around. It doesn't smell like fire burning. Yeah, maybe.
Fan?
Give me a fan. Something electric. Something's burning. Anyway.
It's flush.
Shh. But the soy that for him is a boy said, for that baby 8 days old, with teaching him the lesson from the early youth, as soon as he's able to have it. No pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. Then without a person putting effort, we can't get anywhere in life. And the simcha, bismillah, because I'll say it's one of the things we do, but simcha. What's the simcha? Because we realize that the happiness and the geschmack of life is when a person puts effort, when a person has dedication, when a person fights, when a person puts all his koyches, when he's ready to give everything up and put all his energies into what he believes in. And that's what Brismila is about. Take a baby and teach from that young age of myself. Ingrain it in. Don't wait till he's 13 years old. From the birth, come out from the birth, right away to know that no pain, no effort, there's no simcha. The Odom lo omo yulat, that our purpose in creation was that we should be omo. We should be effort, make effort. We should put all our koiches, our mental capacities, our physical capacity, our physical strength into avodas Hashem, into serving Hashem. Odom lo omo yulat. And this is what Esav didn't have in his mila. And from this, he lived a life of relaxing. I'm just chilling, Rebbe. I'm just chilling. Chilling! I'm chilling for 6 years already, Yeshiva! I'm freezing! After you worked hard, if you've taken on a project, if I put in a tremendous effort, okay, everybody needs to let up. It could be an every day, it could be every week, it could be every month, you need to let up, 100%. But you have to be a person that puts forth 100% effort. All the time. Because not only will there be no result if you don't, but you'll never be happy. You'll never have simcha. You'll never feel satisfied. Batolo maybe lidei shigo'o, says Chazal. In Subish, you're going to have it. Waste of time. Doing nothing, it's the greatest thing in the world, doing nothing. Mom is absolutely amazing. Doing absolutely nothing, nothing to do, is the most amazing thing. What are you doing? Nothing. What did you do yesterday? Also nothing. Last week, plenty of nothing. They call me my little Ishmael nothing, Samson. No, everything he asks, what he's doing, nothing. How's it going? Nothing. Where do you live? Nothing. I'm not doing anything. What does that lead to? Craziness! I have a chat, I don't with MS. But what is he going? What is he murdering? You know what it means to murder somebody, your boy's side? somebody. Gotta be out of your mind.
Yeah, right.
He was on a battle. He was doing nothing. He wasn't in the base. He was outside the fields. Butterfly catching. He was out looking, picking flowers. I mean, he was walking the fields. Nothing. Chilling. Smoking. All types of plants. This, that. He was out there chilling.
Murder? How could it come to me? Very simple. I told her, maybe the day she go on. Emptiness, wastefulness, nothingness leads you to murder. Murder? Even the most, forget about religion. Who murders somebody? Who takes somebody else's life? You gotta be crazy. That's right. Absolutely crazy. She's got nothing to do with us. And everybody knows it, boys. This is not it's so posh. Everybody knows Bein Hasmanim. We do crazy things. One guy's hanging off of his basement by his toes. Mother comes down. Wow, you're upside down. Yeah, Mom, look, no hands. Just feet. What are you doing? I'm just chilling. Another guy stands on his head, the whole Bein Hasmanim. The whole Bein Hasmanim is on his head. He comes back, and one day he has problems learning. The other guy's banging his head against the wall. His lungs are due, he's banging it. Just see, we had one guy there spend his mind and told him to do something. He had nothing to do. Look at the hole over there. This and that and this emptiness and emptiness. And the guy goes down and down and down. Why is he going so far down? I told her, maybe they should. He gets crazy, this crazy thoughts. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know where he wants to go. He's traveling. He goes on a little road trip to the, who knows where, the jungles, the African jungles. He wants to go spend time with the cannibals. Maybe they want to use him for lunch one day. He knows no way he wants to go. Fly me out of here. Get me going. So I get in the car. He starts riding down the block backwards. He doesn't know where he's going, what he's doing. Go for a walk. He ends up who knows where. He ends up in some Chinatown. And, you know, he's eating falafel balls in Chinatown. He's walking the streets. He doesn't know where he is, what he's doing. He's going here, going there. He's on the subway. He's off the subway, the E train, the F train, the D train, the crazy train. He's upside down. He's on right side up. What am I going to do today? At the end of the day, he ends up with sugar in his brain. It's by Tolga, maybe the Shiama, no feeling of function, no feeling of accomplishment, no feeling of doing things. Surface or gutter, up, down, on the brinks of HELL. Because Hashem made every human being of us. This is the Yisoy that Yisoy is. Every human being Hashem made with the nature that they have to produce, they have to work, almost. And if not, they're not working, they're not busy, their time is not using up, they get crazy. Because it's not them, it's not their nature. And then what happens? Escapes. Drugs, alcohol, anything. The Shugoyim. Therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, straitjackets, everything. Why are there so many people, Rabbi, in my opinion, going to hell for that? In my humble opinion, Rabbi, there's other, a lot of reasons, Rabbi. But one of the reasons that so many people are taking medication and some people aren't things because we're in a world that's not our fault, I don't want to blame it. We're not at fault for this place. We know it's at fault for all these psychologists and psychiatrists and therapists and life coaches and this and that, you know who's at fault? The system. The system of the world that's put into us. There's one Yisoy that we all know.
And this is in our brains, so deep in our brains, in the depth of all our brains. Life has to be easy. If it's not easy, something is wrong. If there's a problem, something is really wrong. If there's a difficulty, Dr. Spiegel, I need an appointment, six sessions, psychology, ball, give him pills, Adderall, General, Bleederall, get him pills, get him this, get him that. Well, how long have you had this, Dr. Spiegel? How long have you been so depressed? Ever since I stopped doing anything. Ever since I've been married to my bed. Of course he's depressed. He doesn't have anything to do. And life just throws us a little bit of a turn, a little bit of a problem, a little bit of a, oh, he has to make a little bit of effort now. What happened? My mother asked me to take out the garbage. How long have you had this garbage syndrome? You know how hard it is to take out the garbage today! We have to end the session. Another bomb is coming. Mother asked him to vacuum the house. He's been crying for 2 nights. He can't handle it. How do you turn on the vacuum cleaner? It's so difficult. My dad, he's so rough. Extended until 11:30, 12 every day. And we live a life that the world is made for us, that everything has to be so easy, and made so easy. And the most difficult, the most common statement of us I hear from every bacha, it's so hard, man. It's so hard. And my comment to that always, always say, every time I say that comment, I always say it to the guy. You know what I say to the guy? It's dark outside right now. That's the end of the conversation. I mean, I think, like, what are you telling me? I said, you see, you're standing here. But maybe it's so hot. Yeah. There's a cup of water. And he looks at me and says, Zeb, I think you should be going to Dr. Spiegel. But what am I telling the guy? Tell you, what are you doing Hanish to me so much? That's the way it's supposed to be. We think, and that's the way, what do we think? It was, and this is such a powerful Yisoy to myself. If we can learn to get that into our brain, and last year I spoke to my boy about getting off the shackles, this Nakuda, and he said it changed his whole life, and it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't, I didn't have to be Albert Einstein for this thing. I told him the same thing, and really, it's so hard to get up in the morning shackles. He said, yeah. He was like waiting, like, you know. I just said, yeah, right, exactly. And that was it. And for 2 days, we just kept wasting it, but so hard, yeah. That was it, we ended the conversation. That was it, it was finished. Okay, very good. Life is hard! Get in our noodles! Life is hard. It's supposed to be that way. Because the only way you're going to appreciate life, if it's something is hard, and we accomplish it, and we go over the struggle, and then you feel like $1 million, what they say. When you know that's difficult, when something's easy, and you accomplish it, you don't feel any satisfaction. When you know something that's difficult, and it's very difficult for me this day, and you work through it,
and you plan, and you struggle, and you push yourself, and you get up, and you do that, if you're there, it's so hard to finish your shmsach, it's so hard to do a parak, it's so hard to do this, it's so hard to learn Ian, it's so hard to dam, it's so, yeah, right? But you push, and you struggle, and you push, and then when you accomplish it, you finish that mesechta, you work through a sugya, you got the whole sugya, you feel like $1,000,000 over yourself. I guarantee it over yourself. Any guy wants to put it to the test, go a week straight, chakras over yourself. A week straight chakras, without me have to hit you over the pole. Without the coming around and taking out your bed from you. Go a week straight on your own and push for shot. I guarantee you're going to be a happy person. Money back guarantee today, from Louis Armstrong. Money back guarantee. Better than those diets. A money back guarantee. Guarantee for Simcha. You get up every morning yourself. An alarm clock. You know no one woke you. You get up yourself. You push yourself up. And you come and you produce. You work. Guaranteed Simcha. It's a horror, but we feel that it's the wrong thing, maybe. It's not supposed to be this way. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm getting all nervous. This is not supposed to be. It's not supposed to be hard. It's not supposed to be this way. And then we psych ourselves into a position that it has to be. And I'm in the right position right now. I'm in the right position. This position in the bed, that position in the bed. But I'm in the right position. Taka, I'm going to ask the Rishiva for a degree at the end of the year. BTL, a bed training license. I'm going to be in Deis Hashem a model for Sealy Posturepedic mattresses. I've already spoken to them. I told them I have very good models. I've seen guys, they can have a picture of a guy in a 20-hour sleep. This mattress will put you into a sleep that you've never had before. And here's a bacha from our yeshiva. You know, it's a very good contract for us. And all the guys, I'm telling you, they can sleep through anything. So you have like a guy's, the attic article, the commercial, people banging, slamming, pulling the mattress underneath of them, and he's still on the mattress. Sealy, you'll never leave it once you've been on it. Baruch. Since there he is. He went into hibernation for the winter's month. Anyway, the police said, this is the Yisoyed HaYisoyedis of life. And this is what they've destroyed us with. You can't do anything. I don't like to make fun of it, but it's a terrible thing, but what is the shadow of our life? Can you explain that to me?
Hey, Schnepps! How to live! I don't know the bitch generation, they know how to live! I don't know, we need books out! 16 steps, how to live!
Step one, raise your body, book the mattress. Step two, put feet on ground. Step three, put arms forward. Step four, walk towards restroom. I won't go further. Step five. That also needs steps today. You have to go to a life coach. Some people need diapers. They have today for old men, but it's not funny. Anybody wants, we can order for the yeshiva in our next, we order the paper cups. We can order for anybody who wants diapers. You won't have to get out of bed. Welcome to Applebaum's Old Age and Recreational Center. 11 o'clock wake up, shuffleboard, the back porch. Male nurses will escort you to the restrooms. At 11 o'clock in the morning, a teenage boy is in his bed. Only in the Vase Simcha you find that. Average age, 83. 17, 18-year-old boy, 11 in the morning, is in bed. Something is wrong. 10 steps to life.
a life coach. And it's crazy. What's spreading a life coach? That means you need a person to coach you. You had a coach, and I remember I had my basketball team. I had to do strategies to play, how to live. You need a coach. Does that make sense to us? Why can't a guy know how to live? Because we've been already, we can't do anything for ourselves anymore. And again, it's not our fault. They make everything easy. You don't have to do anything today. Nothing. This thing, coffee makers, this maybe juice makers. Used to be a juice maker, you had at least turn it. No, anymore. That's too much work, right? Put the orange in. Electric. Orange juice. Coffee makers. Everything of us, everything makes this makers and that makers. You don't have to do anything in your lives anymore. That's what they made. They're trying to make it simpler and simpler. Cars that drive themselves, they already have them, but they're going to the market soon. Soon you're not going to have to do anything. You're going to have it. They have kind of an electronic refrigerator. It senses all the things that are missing from the refrigerator and sends a beep straight to the supermarket. And it orders all the food. And then a robot comes with the food to the refrigerator, and the refrigerator is filled up with us. Censored refrigerator. You don't have to do anything. Whatever's missing in your fridge, it's censored. Everything you want to soon have to open your mouth. You won't have to open by the time with a special machine that opens your mouth for you in the morning when you want to drink. Just leave it open, and when you have it for a Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo in the morning, I used to give out toothpicks at one side. The guys who have a hard time lifting up their lips. Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. Get a special toothpick to keep you out. Okay, some people in the morning, I'll just get the lips up and down with special toothpicks. Keep it open on that side. It's too hard. Everything is too hard. That's Esav on this side. Yaakov is the Ish Tom Yeshua, all of them running from one oil to the next on this side. And we want to succeed in life on this side. Not just in Judaism, life, but especially in Yiddishkeit. Because everything in Yiddishkeit comes with work. Torah, Omel. Tefillah, boy, side. No one has a taste for tefillah today. Of course you have no taste. You know what tefillah is? Avoida shebelev. It's an avoida. You have to work on it. You want to get a love of tefillah. You want to get a shvag. You want to wake. I can't wait to daven tomorrow. Avoida shebelev. You got to work at it. So hard. Everybody wants the easy way out. What are we looking for? Such an easy way out. They're coming up with a new Mahalach now. It used to be pay someone to daven in the Kosel. You pay someone to daven in the Yeshiva now. 40 days. You tell the Mashkiach just that he's davening for me, he's davening for that guy. The whole Shiloh, one guy can daven for 10 guys. Any volunteers who want to do that, 100 check, go daven for somebody every day. Go bench for him, go daven for him, make brachas. But it's not the pshat at the end of the day that we're going to gain from that. That's the mistake that we're making. That's what we want to be a lot from. We're going to learn how to turn out big losers with ourselves. Because what we could have accomplished, what we could have achieved, the person we could have become is only if we work hard and more hard and harder and harder and harder. And the harder it gets, the more difficult it gets, the more simple it is with ourselves. And we solve for it all. The most difficult shahs of Shah's face, they used to say, was sometimes total anguish and unbelievable simcha. This is what Rebbetzin said about it. And he said, you know why? He was in total anguish. He didn't have Shah, the depths of the moral, the depths of place with the psalms. And when he finally came to this, after thinking the hours on the terrace, he came to him, his face was so bliss that it was like the sun shining on us. You couldn't imagine that. We just have to really remember this, you saw what I said. Life is hard, life is difficult, and the most pleasurable, the most amazing pleasure that you'll ever taste is if you work at something very, very, very hard. You know, today I walked out of the first Seder, but I, to be honest, I felt an unbelievable simcha. Like, I didn't feel for a certain, for a wonder why. You know why, Rabbi Sai? The
Sometimes I swear some of you, no. But you know what? It's also true. I swear some of you for the first time. But no. But the real reason was that I said Shiokolo. I hadn't said Shiokolo this month. And last night I stayed up a little later and worked on it. And after saying this shit, coming up with a pshat of a verse, which I think was an MS of pshat, I felt amazing. I went home. I didn't really feel like I would have to eat so much. I'm telling you, this is the difference between me and you. Talk. The rain of a verse. I didn't have to eat so much. And so I felt unbelievable with this. Because I had worked hard at something. And I came to a maskona, I came to an understanding that I didn't have before. And I said, and it was bliss. It was happiness and bliss. This is the secret of bliss that the world is looking for. Everybody wants happiness. Where can I buy happiness? Can I purchase it with $1 million? Can I buy this? I'll buy this car, that thing, this thing, happiness. It's not going to give you happiness. One thing that gives us happiness: hard work, achieving, especially in love. The person works out. The shama, verb is on the sugya. And he tastes it. There's no greater feeling in the world, but it's like guaranteed. Money back guaranteed today. You'll see it. Tam u'ru'u ki tov Hashem. Taste and you'll see how good it is. To get the Esav out of our lives, the superficiality, the wanting to take it easy, the wanting to chill, the wanting to find easy ways out of everything, everybody said. Not that we have to make a dafka hard for ourselves, but there are situations that are hard. We have to spend the time and the effort to achieving the hard things, for when we do that, we'll achieve our purpose in this world. Adam l'omel yulad, and will bring us the greatest of simchas. We'll taste finally real happiness. B'ezah Hashem, with that taste, it'll bring us to more, want more and more, until we become true b'nei Torah, the true oyde Hashem, that we can become, because it's inside of us. We just need to put the effort. Zeicha b'karav b'ez Hashem. That feeling mamish of oylam haba. I'm telling you, boy, I felt today amazing. You could feel it also, boy. Zeicha all each and every one of you to taste that feeling. Zeicha b'karav. Shiach k'ein b'ez Hashem.